The Ashland Independent Film Festival was primarily a springtime event with movies showing through the day and evening in movie theaters. Well, that whole theater closing in pandemic thing changed that last year and this. So the festival went virtual both years in the spring and added an outdoor component this year that begins tonight with the screening of Fanny, The Right to Rock at Science Works in Ashland. We talked about that film earlier in the week. Today we talk about Weed and Wine, which deals with those two agriculture products and the people who make them. It screens Saturday night at Science Works in Ashland. Two guests join us. Rebecca Richmond Cohen is the producer-director of Weed and Wine. Rebecca, welcome.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
And Kevin Jodry is with us as well, one of the people that the documentary focuses on. He's a longtime cannabis grower in Humboldt County. Kevin, welcome.
Thank you, and thank you for the invite.
All right, good to have you both here. So, Rebecca, you write that the film was conceived out of a pursuit of personal pleasure.
That's right. I couldn't think of anything more fun than traveling the world and learning about two agricultural products that I'm so fond of. But the film turned into something very different. At the end, wine and weed are really the backdrop, the wallpaper for a larger story about family relationships.
How did you choose to go with wine in France? I mean, yeah, obviously there's lots of wine in this country too, but although was that just a travelogue kind of thing? You get to do wine in France and cannabis in Humboldt.
We thought about it in about doing an American wine grower too, but there was something I loved about how old wine was in France, how steeped in tradition it was, and how new the state legal cannabis industry is, and what that said about each country's national identities, I think. So there was a fun comparison to make there.
And how did you find the Jodrys in Humboldt and the Thibons in France?
Well, Kevin and his son Kona were very easy to find. Everyone in Humboldt told me to talk to him. So I reached out to him, I think, first, really, like more for background than anything else. But as soon as I met him, I knew that he and his family were folks I wanted to spend more time with, and that there was a great story there. And so it was easy to find Kev. It was harder to find a family in France who was open to the premise of the film, who felt okay with a comparison to cannabis, because there is still so much stigma against cannabis in that world. But after, like, the most fun road trip in the world, I found the T-bones, and they were perfect.
Interesting. I hadn't even thought about that part of it, that there was still some sense of, you know, particularly from somebody who's been making a product that has goes back centuries plus, that they would perhaps look askance at this new intoxicant out there.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Kevin Jodry, so there's the introduction that everybody in Humboldt seemed to think that Rebecca should look for you. You've been around cannabis for a long time from the sounds of it.
Yeah, most of my life.
Mm-hmm. So talk about it. How far back does it go? Doing what with it?
Oh, gosh. I mean, well, you know, I'm from the East Coast originally, and so I got involved in the cannabis when I was probably about 12. And I got dragged out of high school in handcuffs in 1983 for cultivation. And I ended up spending the rest of my life in it because I always believed that at some point it would be normalized because I didn't see it as a bad substance. And it was just an incredible experience to get to spend your life involved in something that you really love to be around and do. And as normalization occurred, you know, we got to see a million different directions open up and so much information and so much different types of acceptance. And it's just been incredible. It's sometimes tough, but very incredible. And I'm grateful that I get to spend my life in something that I love.
So after you got let out of high school in handcuffs or out of school at 12 years of age, I mean, a few years later...
I was 83. I would have been about 16 then.
16 then. Okay. Sorry. So I've been doing it since you were 12 years old. Okay. I see what I did. I wrote the wrong number down. But you know, I know a lot of people who were around cannabis from the 70s and 80s and even earlier and thinking, oh, you know, it'll be legal in a few years. Did you ever have that thought?
Well, I thought that at some point it should be legal. But at that point in time, it was extremely stigmatized. It's still, you know, federally scheduled as a, you know, no purpose drug. So I knew that it would be in the future. I just didn't know when. And then as I started to get into medical cannabis in the late 90s, I figured it would come around 2000, 2002, 2003, or 2004. But it was just this slow rollout. And finally, when it happened, I was just ecstatic, because the issue with cannabis is to so many people that derive benefit from it, the stigma of illegality prohibited them from accessing it in a way that allowed them to get the benefit they needed. And for all the years I was in medical cannabis, I saw so many people just have unbelievable health problems as a result of that stigma. So, you know, for me, as a producer of the product, it's wonderful that it's normalized. But someone who is a dispensary owner operator for the last 14 years, there was a different resonance for people who were medical, who needed access. And that was something that I really kind of tried to champion, because I fortunately was healthy. So I didn't have that same need, but the people that I served did. And so for me to see this roll out and normalize in this way is just, it's just incredible.
Now, do I understand that for a while there, you actually were in the business of helping catch people trafficking drugs?
Yeah, well, after I got out of training school and I graduated high school, I went in the military to get out of the neighborhood for a couple of years. And I was a diver in the military, and I used to go get sent out to work with the DEA and the DOJ on international drug busts. So they would drop me out in the ocean to search international-level drug seizure vessels. And it was ironic, because it was on one of those vessels that I was doing a drug raid that the captain of the vessel and I had a conversation, and he recommended that I go back into cannabis. Because he asked me, what did I do prior to the military? And I said, the same thing that you do, but just on a smaller level. And he said, oh, you need to go back into cannabis. Cannabis is really the future. And it caught me, because I realized that I had far more in common with the captain of the drug vessel than I did with the DEA and the DOJ group that I was working with.
Wow.
And so I started to study botany. And when I got out of the military, I went right back into cannabis, and I never left.
Kevin Jodry, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, a longtime cannabis grower in Humboldt County, one of the subjects of the documentary film Weed and Wine, screening on Saturday night at Science Works as part of the outdoor festivities of the Ashland Independent Film Festival, their short 5-day run here. Director-producer Rebecca Richmond-Cohen is with us as well, and you may have some questions for our guests. Shout them out at 800-838-3760 by phone, or send them to jx@jeffnet.org. Rebecca, so obviously some twists and turns in the story of the Jodry family, the family in France, the Thibons, they have some twists and turns in their story too, don't they?
Yeah, they absolutely do. When we were researching the film, I was looking for families that if we filmed over a number of years, we would see some change. And the son in that family had been away for a number of years working abroad in the wine world, and came home and was trying to figure out what it is to work with your parents and up against these enormous challenges of climate change. I mean, both families are dealing with that. And being in the head of the cellar for his first harvest back home. So it was exciting times with, a number of surprises.
Now, you had some key family moments, I understand, in the final days of the film being completed in your own family.
Yes. It took us a long time to edit the film, so we were done with production, but I became a parent at the start of the pandemic. I had a baby, and I look back at the film. I think I watched it for the first time with my parents and with my baby, and I was just like, oh, of course this is a film about family. Of course, I don't know, the filmmaker, that was more interesting to me than just, you know, looking at these two industries. So I think there's some reasons for the decisions I made.
Given the congratulations, by the way, and given the time you spent with the two families, this you mentioned over the course of several years, the film ends up at 89 minutes. Did you have a lot of material to work with, or was some of it just you sort of marinating in what you found?
We had a ton of material to work with, and I never wanted to stop filming. I still don't want to. I want to go back to filming. I don't know. I hope audiences will find it is as joyful a film to watch as it was to make. And these are two families who are so expressive and so open, and their worlds are so fascinating. I'd love to see what happens next. But we had at least 150 hours of footage. We filmed a ton. And there were, lots of storylines. But at the end of the day, I think we found the right ones.
So the Thibon family, Hélène and Aurélienne, I think it is, how long have they had that vineyard? How long has it been in their family?
Oh, since the 17th century it's been in their family. So they have, they have like a real know-how of, mm-hmm. of how to pass it on, of transmission. I think that's just a lot less true in the cannabis industry. It's just much newer, America, it's the frontier. I don't know. I always felt like Kev was like kind of like a cowboy. There was something just so American about it. Trying to figure out how to keep your son in the business that is changing, where there is no rule book, where there is no tradition for how it's done, was a really interesting thing, I think, to compare and contrast.
So Kevin, has Kona stayed in the business?
Yeah, he has. He's worked for me for years at the dispensary that I only helped to launch a few of the operations, and then he works with me on the farm. And right now he's the buyer for a local distribution company. So it's been really nice because we've got to spend a lot of time together as father and son working on a common project. And then it's been really nice to watch him work on his own with other companies and to see him mature and develop as a man. And he's having a child of his own in December.
Wow.
So it's this full circle come about. But, he's a wonderful young man, and it's just been a joy to be able to have that time with him. Because usually as parents, you don't get the time with your kids the same way because they don't get to go to work with you.
Right.
We spend so much time at work that they don't really understand what it is you do at work, and they don't get to get any of the skills from that time. So for me, I was just really fortunate that I got to have that ability, and I just love my son, and I'm just grateful that it was recorded so that we can laugh and look at this, when we're old.
Let's take a phone call here. We have Jeff in Medford on the line. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Kevin Jodry and Rebecca Richmond Cohen from the film Weed and Wine at the Ashland Film Festival on Saturday. Hi, Jeff.
Oh, good morning. I would like to kind of address the irony that there is between the acceptance of wine and cannabis. Seems like a wine tasting event, and wine growing and all the business around wine is widely accepted, is promoted by politicians and everything. And cannabis has still got this stigma attached to it. And yet, if I'm driving down the highway, I would much rather have somebody who smoked a little bit of weed coming at me down the road than somebody who has drunk and got a little tipsy on wine. And I'm not promoting doing either one while you're driving, but I just feel like wine can make you a lot more dangerous and crazy if you drink too much of it than smoking marijuana. And yet it's so widely accepted by the establishment, and it just seems peculiar to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I enjoy both wine and cannabis and all, but I don't, like I say, I don't promote the idea of driving on them. But
right, okay, Jeff, I appreciate the perspective.
That was just an example of the irony.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's get a response then, and thanks for calling then. So, Kevin, let's take this to you because you're the guy who's been working a good bit of his life to convince people that this is a good thing. There's a value in cannabis.
Well, cannabis has a 14,000-year recorded history, so it was globally accepted and as widely used as any botanical product ever used. And when we had the drug war, which was really a war on, it was an economic war, it was a war on hemp, the fiber, the product, the derivatives, they included cannabis in that loop. And they did such an effective job of stigmatizing it for the last 100 years, they drove it right out of existence. And that crime of removal of something so valuable from society is what we're really trying to rectify now. And I don't have a debate on, what's better. If a glass of wine, it makes you relax and takes away stress and reduces hypertension for you, then it's an incredible substance that you use. And if you use cannabis for that same purpose, then it's as valuable and legitimate as either. And so really, our job is to try to, be good stewards of the land and good participants in the industry and good community members so that this way we can really start to chip away and reduce the bad views that were fabricated. And hopefully, that's something that the film will do, because the film, Rebecca did such a beautiful job going back and forth between my family and the family in France, that it allows you to really just see us as craft family. And you see so many similarities, and there's all these incredible differences because I'm most definitely American and they're most definitely French. But it really highlights the similarities in craft, and I really hope that's what comes out of the film, is that people can see that there's a love for the land and a love for agricultural practice in all these groups. Really, I mean, fundamentally, a farmer is a farmer.
Do you feel like the business has come completely out of the shadows now in Humboldt County? I mean, you got the county promoting it and all kinds of governmental pushes to make Humboldt cannabis, you know, the premier cannabis.
Oh, completely. It is mainstream as it could be. And I couldn't be any happier about it. It's just that, you know, when things become normalized, it allows other groups to come in who want to participate, which is also good. It's just that when the groups that come in are heavily funded, it makes it difficult for the smaller farmers to be able to survive and compete. And what you lose is you lose diversity. It's not that you have to protect people because they don't do a good job. It's that small farmers do very unique jobs, and you have to be able to allow that unique product to come into the market and get on the shelf. And there's the difficulties of the supply chain and the system in general and regulatory costs. And so it's most definitely accepted and forward and moving, but it's just my fear is that will it move so fast and so aggressively that it'll take away the people who really put in the work all these years to create it, and in my opinion, create a better product than commercial industry can.
Huh, okay. Rebecca Richmond Cohen, I think you're an attorney. I wonder if you were like thinking of the regulatory schemes of the two products as you were filming this, or I just shut that part of your brain off.
No, it was very much at the front of my mind. I'm actually not an attorney. I never took the bar, but I did go to law school. And, you know, many of my films have been about the intersection of law and, you know, and different public policy questions. So, yes, I mean, it just seemed like such an exciting time to tell a story about small farmers in Humboldt I met Kev just in 2016, I think, even before adult use was legalized in California.
Okay.
And so just to see these incredible changes and what it was like for small family farms up against big business when regulation did not favor them. I mean, the choices we make as voters and the policies that our government enacts can have a wide range of effects.
Okay, Weed and Wine, Saturday the 26th at Science Works with live music by Clayton Joseph Scott. Thanks to director-producer Rebecca Richmond Cohen and Kevin Jodry, who appears in the film.